The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Hey, Tokets, and welcome. It is Wednesday, June 12, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are coming to you live and direct from Fort Worth, Texas, where we're still hanging out here with DFW Normal and getting ourselves prepared for the FN Normal Tour taking place this week. Going to be a lot of fun. We got Brian the Red hanging out in the studio there, Rolotide Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. How are things going there, Brian?
Oh, you know, it's a little bit gray, but that's Oregon.
Oh, I could use some gray here. It's like 90 degree temperatures out here in Texas. I've been spending a lot of time indoors, let me tell you. We have got so much for you today on today's Russ Belville Show. More coverage of the DFW Normal, Texas Regional Normal Conference, the first ever conference for the Lone Star State. And on today's show at half past, we feature a keynote address from Rob Campia, the head and the founder of the Marijuana Policy Project, with his organization's goals and strategies for 2014 and 2016. He's got 8 states lined up for legalization by 2016. Check us out at the bottom of the hour to find out which ones they are and when they expect to pass. Also on today's show, we're going to feature more music from the FNAs, their song Gypsy, but we've got a special guest call in. Pan Blanco from the band is calling in at 20 after to give us his impression of the music and how the band got together, and looking forward to this FN Normal tour that's coming up. In our hour 2 today, we've also got more speeches and presentations from DFW Normal Conference. We're going to feature Larry Talley. He's with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and former U.S. Navy, retired. We've also got Eric Altieri, the communications director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws on the dawn of legalization. And Cheyenne Weldon, the newly elected head of Texas Normal out in Austin, Texas, gave a remarkable speech that capped off all of the festivities there at DFW Normal Conference this last weekend. So check that out coming up in hour 2, but we're going to start hour 1 off, of course, with our 420 radio news. We've got headlines from Colorado, New Jersey, Portland, Maine, Seattle. We've got Los Angeles and even England in the news today. And when we go behind the headlines, we'll take a look at a story from Iowa. So stick around.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs with midges, most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We're going back to San Francisco. That's right, everyone. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is returning to the Bay on June 22nd and 23rd. Come to the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California for a High Times celebration of the best weed in the world. Meet the top cannabis of the Golden State. Hear experts discuss indoor and outdoor growing. Find out about cannabis cuisine. Learn about the exciting new world of concentrates. Enjoy a massive medication area reserved for California medical marijuana patients only. And don't forget our swinging Saturday night concert when the stars come out. But as everybody knows, it's all about the cannabis. On Sunday night, we present the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards for Best Sativa, Best Indica, Best Hybrid, Best Concentrate, Best Edibles, and more. Plus, we honor a living legend of the modern cannabis movement, San Francisco's own Dennis Perrone. That's June 22nd and 23rd at the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 12, 2013. I'm Russ Belbel. Judge strikes down Colorado rule restricting marijuana magazine sales from Yahoo News. A judge on Tuesday struck down a provision of Colorado's marijuana legalization law that would have required stores to sell cannabis-themed publications behind the counter, like pornography. Magazine publishers and bookstores had filed a lawsuit against the state last week, arguing that the measure, passed by the Colorado legislature this spring, should be overturned before it takes effect on July 1st. U.S. District Judge Richard Matsch's ruling came a day after the state attorney general's office, which would have defended the measure in court, agreed with the plaintiffs that it is unconstitutional. New Jersey voters, pot possession should not be a crime, poll says, from NewJersey.com. Mirroring a national trend, a majority of New Jersey voters say people who get caught with small amounts of marijuana should pay a fine, but not go to prison. According to a poll released today and commissioned by the Drug Policy Alliance, marijuana possession is a criminal offense that carries a penalty of up to $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail in the Garden State. But the poll of about 600 registered voters from across the state found 61% of respondents support making possession of 2 ounces or less of marijuana a civil matter, like a speeding ticket. Voters also want their elected officials to follow their lead on the issue, according to the poll that found 82% of those polled said they would either be more likely to vote for an elected official who supported reducing penalties for marijuana possession, or that it would make no difference in their vote. There hasn't been any action on the decriminalization bills in New Jersey in a while. A bill, S-1977, that would decriminalize the possession of up to 50 grams, or just under 2 ounces of marijuana, was introduced 13 months ago and has not been posted for a committee hearing. Another bill, A-1465, which would decriminalize up to 15 grams of pot, passed in the Assembly last year but stalled in the Senate. Governor Chris Christie said he would veto any decriminalization bill. Portland, Maine moves closer to marijuana legalization referendum. This from the PressHerald.com. Organizers of a petition to legalize recreational use of marijuana in the state's largest city have obtained enough signature to put the issue to the voters this November, the city said Tuesday. The milestone comes one day after the legislature voted against putting marijuana legalization on the state ballot. City Hall spokeswoman Nicole Clegg said the city council will meet June 17th to decide whether to put the question to voters, offer a competing ballot question, or simply adopt the proposed measure as written. The measure would allow people 21 and older to possess as much as 2.5 ounces of marijuana. It would prohibit smoking of marijuana in public and allow landlords to prohibit it in their apartments by posting no smoking signs. The measure does not set up any legal means for the people to get marijuana. Now that marijuana is legal, Seattle wants private clubs, from Yahoo.com. Seattle officials are recommending that Washington State authorize private marijuana clubs and examine allowing home delivery of the drug as they work out rules for a recreational pot market, according to a letter sent to state regulators. The recommendations sent by the Seattle City Attorney with the blessing of the city's mayor are among the hundreds received by the state's Liquor Control Board before a Monday deadline for public comment on the draft rules issued. Feds crack down on hundreds of medical marijuana shops in California, from BusinessInsider.com. Federal prosecutors have sent dozens of letters warning medical marijuana shops in Los Angeles and Long Beach to shut down or risk potential criminal or civil action. Authorities say that more than 100 pot clinics in Los Angeles County received the letters Tuesday. Lawsuits also were filed against two property owners in Long Beach, telling them it's illegal to allow pot sales in the buildings that they own. Outlawing drugs like marijuana censors science, researchers say, from FoxNews.com. The outlawing of drugs such as cannabis, magic mushrooms, and other psychoactive substances amounts to scientific censorship and is hampering research into potentially important medicinal uses, leading scientists argued on Wednesday. Laws and international conventions dating back to the 1960s have set back research in key areas such as consciousness, they argued in the journal Nature Reviews Neuroscience. Said David Nutt, a professor of neuropsychopharmacology at Imperial College in London, quote, "The decision to outlaw these drugs was based on their perceived dangers, but in many cases, the harms have been overstated," unquote. In a statement accompanying the Nature Reviews paper, he said the laws amounted to, quote, "the worst case of scientific censorship since the Catholic Church banned the works of Copernicus and Galileo." Back in 2009, Republicans criticized the government for ignoring scientific evidence on cannabis and ecstasy. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 12th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at a case in Iowa where a man is receiving a Class C felony for acetaminophen. You'll find out how when we come back. Listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
All right, time for us to go behind the headlines. And today we are looking at a story in Iowa. I was scanning through the headlines when I saw this one. Police say man had backpack full of mushrooms, marijuana, packing materials, from the Iowa City Press Citizen. This piqued my curiosity. A backpack full of shrooms and bud in Iowa? Is this guy crazy? Does anybody have his phone number in case I get a speaking gig in Iowa City? Then I read the actual bust. The backpack contained 14.31 grams of psilocybin mushrooms packaged in equal saleable amounts. 1.24 grams of a white powder containing the painkiller acetaminophen distributed into quarter-gram packages, 2.53 grams of marijuana, a scale, and several glass pipes and packaging materials, according to police. A half ounce of shrooms? That's not a backpack full. That's a handful. And 2.5 grams of weed? A decent blunt. But what's this about the crushed Tylenol in quarter-gram packages?
Eigelhart has been charged with 2 felony counts of controlled substance violation for the painkiller and the psychedelic mushrooms, and a serious misdemeanor charge of possession of a controlled substance for the marijuana.
That's right. Mr. Backpackful here is getting a felony for acetaminophen and mushrooms and a misdemeanor for marijuana. Sure, the shrooms and pot are Schedule 1, but isn't acetaminophen legal to possess? Well, yes, of course. But if you crush it up into a powder and you put it into common powder drug sale weights and packaging, and it's found along with other Schedule 1 drugs and a scale and baggies, then the police assume you were attempting to sell that powder as an illicit drug, like cocaine or meth. That, dear listeners, is a crime on the state and federal level to varying degrees. At the federal level, 21 U.S.C. Section 331 prohibits the interstate selling of counterfeit drugs. As criminaldefenselawyer.com puts it, if you bought some aspirin in Portland and then sold it as OxyContin at a concert at the Gorge in Washington,
you would be subject to the following. A person convicted of the sale of a counterfeit drug involving interstate commerce with no intent to defraud or mislead may face a sentence of not more than 1 year in prison, a fine of not more than $1,000, or both. A person convicted of a sale of a counterfeit drug involving interstate commerce with intent to defraud or mislead may face a sentence of not more than 3 years in prison, a fine of not more than $10,000, or both. And each individual sale can be treated as a separate violation, punished by the maximum sentence. So, a person who sells fake OxyContin online to 10 people may face up to 30 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. Wow. And at the state level, most states have some form of counterfeit drug charge or criminal fraud charge that can be brought against you if you're selling the fake drug, even just within your own state. For example, after following undercover agents to a hotel parking lot, a Missoula, Montana man attempted to sell them a sheet of paper he claimed was blotter acid. Even though the paper tested negative for LSD, the man was charged with criminal fraud and faced a 5-year prison sentence and a fine of $50,000. That's right. You can get 5 years and $50,000 fine for saying that a piece of paper has drugs on it. So for our Iowa City small-time dealer, he may be facing charges for crushed up Tylenol as if he'd been peddling bindles of meth. Now, the other charge, being a felon for the mushrooms, that's another outrage, and I'll save that for a different column. Except to note that nobody should be a felon for possessing nature. This is just another outrage of prohibition. The distribution of unsafe, untested, and sometimes fake drugs. The only time someone's busted for this is when police investigate them, because the illegal nature of the product makes it impossible for the consumers to complain. If drugs were legal, people taking them would know what they're getting. There'd be fewer overdoses, and there'd be less violence, because fewer consumers would be reacting to ripoffs in the only way they can, through extrajudicial and sometimes violent means. Also, guys like this defendant, 24-year-old Matthew Eigelhart, wouldn't have to pay for their youthful mistakes with most of their youth behind bars. I checked out this kid's Facebook page. He seems like a regular 20-something dude. He loves his Ron Paul, big fan of Joe Rogan. He posts crude sexual fine lists. He wants to ban traffic cameras and drones in Iowa City. Maybe he's not the winner of any most likely to succeed accolades, but who am I to judge? I mean, I was flipping burgers for a living and living in a trailer park with a meth-addled stripper at his age, so adjust for my definition of regular. He's also got a sweet mom who posts nice compliments on his gun show muscle poses. She just seems like a regular Iowa guy. The felonies he faces in Iowa are punishable by up to 10 years each and a fine of between $1,000 and $50,000 each. The marijuana, a serious misdemeanor, is punishable by up to 6 months and up to a $1,000 fine. However, he's lucky he didn't process his marijuana into hash or hash oil. While it takes 50 kilograms of marijuana to become a Class C felony under Iowa law, it takes just any amount of hash oil to earn 10 years in prison under a Class C felony under Iowa law. I don't think we'll see much dabbing in Iowa. Should Matthew receive his maximum sentence for both felonies, he would not be eligible for parole until he served 6 years of his sentence, thanks to Iowa Code Section 124.413, which mandates that the convicted serve at least one-third of their sentence. What would we accomplish by locking him up until he's 30? I'll bet Iowans still manage to get a hold of marijuana and mushrooms while he's away. The prohibition law didn't deter Matthew from allegedly trying to sell personal amounts of drugs. If he was on a bad track now, just wait till after 6 years in criminal university, then emerging on parole as a twice-convicted drug felon. There will be only one job he can qualify for, the one he got busted for in the first place.
He was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoked marijuana.
All right. Glass, the time warp, but it's 20 after. It's got to be 4:20 somewhere in the world. It's all about anywhere. Time for a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All week we've been bringing you music from this great band out of Dallas, Texas, the FNAs, who I'm going on tour with starting this week. And we got a member of the FNAs joining us on the line. Pan Blanco is with us. Pan Blanco, welcome to the show.
Orale.
Orale, Vato. What's happening?
Ah, man, getting excited, geared up for this tour. Kind of want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. We are looking forward to this. The FNAs, if folks don't know, six-piece band out of Dallas, Texas. How did you guys all meet and get your start?
Adult Friend Finder. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
That's perfect.
We actually kind of all met by playing music. It's a really long story to get everybody's story, but we've all been, you know, friends with each other's bands and just kind of came together to create our effing family. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's a straight family. Holidays, birthdays, we spend together. I mean, when we're not playing music, we're hanging out with each other, going to other shows and stuff. We're pretty much the only people that we hang out with is each other. We are like a big family, and a bunch of us have even lived together, you know, since we started playing together. But,
People definitely get that feeling when they check out your band, man. There's such a good vibe. You guys play well together. Very, very tight band, musically speaking. We love what you guys are doing. So this tour that we're going on, very excited about this. What makes you guys such supporters of Normal and wanting to put your name out there like that?
Well, marijuana is something that is loved by, I would say, most Americans. it should be legalized, and that is our main focal point, legalization, getting our music out there with it being known that we are huge normal supporters, and the fact that it should be legalized for numerous benefits that, you know, I'm sure that most everybody in this country is aware of now. But the fact that we get to travel around the country sponsored by Normal, playing our music for people who also, you know, support Normal, is a dream of, it's a dream come true. This tour has actually been a daydream of mine since we played our first Normal event 3 years ago. And ever since then, you know, we've just been on board. We've played all their shows, all their events, DFW and Normal. And if you have not been to a DFW Normal event, it's one of the bigger chapters, one of the most revered chapters. And their president, Sean McAllister, is a phenomenal president, very driven, very professional individual. And, you know, he's become part of our family too. And, the fans and the friends that we've made playing these events have tremendously, you know, been better than anywhere else. You know, marijuana and music goes together very well.
We appreciate you guys being big supporters. For folks, you want to catch up with the FNAs, it's at thefnas.com, EFFINAYS, the FNAs. There'll also be fnnormal.com for the tour information. Pon Blanco, we're about to play Gypsy. You want to tell us a little bit about the song?
Yeah, actually, it's a great song. It's about, you know, this woman foreseeing this man's future, that he's going to, you know, die soon, and Grim Reaper coming for him, and you just say, no, I ain't going yet. But there's our singer, Joe, actually, the first line of the song says, Gypsy woman once told me, son, you should be dead. We were playing a Normal event New Year's Eve this year, and during the line of that song, our singer had a heart attack on stage. And finish the song. Finish the show. But it's a very special song, and Normal seems to favor it, so we always dedicate that one to Normal.
Gypsy woman once told me, son, you should be dead. Don't see no future but a bullet to your head. I just smoke my cigarette. I turn to her and smile. It's not my time yet to go. So here's what I reply. I said, no. Tell the devil he can go on by and take himself some soul.
marijuana re-legalization is not likely to happen first at the federal level. It's going to happen state by state. We turn now to our 50 state legislatures and assemblies for the Russ Belville Show's Legalization Legislation Update.
Can you guys hear me? Is this working? Yes, A, B, C, D, E, pick. Wonderful. All right. So I noticed some people checking out their cell phones or falling asleep, and I want to hope that you guys are going to wake up a little bit to hear what I have to say, because I'm actually going to leave room for Q&A. So hopefully we'll have a dialogue towards the end of this. First, I just want to say how great it is to be here. I actually live in Washington, D.C. in real life, but just bought a home in Austin, so I'm now going to be living in Austin half time. And so I feel like now that I'm a Texan, I don't know if I'm allowed to say I'm a Texan yet, but now that I live in Texas, I feel like it's my moral obligation to help with the laws here too. So part of this presentation gives a little taste of what I think we can do to move forward in Texas. So I know Jim said he swore that marijuana was going to be legal by 2017. I originally had that also as the same year. But the deeper that I got into the plan, I realized that it might need to be 2019, and you'll see why in one of these slides that I have to present. So in terms of what we do to change laws nationwide, we kind of have it in a few different buckets. So one bucket is, of course, medical marijuana, and I think we have a real shot at moving forward with passing more of those laws, which I'll show you in a map in a moment. Then there's the decrim bucket, which means removing the threat of jail for people who are busted with up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Three is legalization. Four is Congress. Even though we're not going to pass anything in Congress anytime soon, there still is a lot of progress that can be made in Congress. And then fifth is let's do something in Texas. So, excuse me. So, in terms of where we are with medical marijuana nationwide, as you know, it's legal in 18 states plus D.C. We just passed our medical marijuana bills in Illinois. Thank you. That was really good also. I want one of them. How are we doing now? Okay, you might have heard that Russ might have mentioned it, but we just passed our medical marijuana bills in Illinois and in New Hampshire. The governor of Illinois is thinking about it. The governor of New Hampshire is 99% certain to sign the bill. And if they both sign, that means that medical marijuana will be legalized in both Illinois and in New Hampshire sometime in the next couple of weeks. So that's... Also, it seems like we probably now finally have the votes in New York State. The governor is a little squishy, but I would say New York is probably going to be the next state after the Illinois and New Hampshire. And then Minnesota, I think we're going to win there by about 2015. So decrim, there's 15 states that have decrim laws. The best of those laws are in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Vermont. You might have heard that as this conference was beginning, the governor of Vermont signed our decrim bill. So as a result of a few years of lobbying, people in Vermont who are caught with up to 1 ounce will no longer face jail time. When we talk about decrim, we want to always be thinking about the Massachusetts law. That's the perfect decrim law because it was a ballot initiative. We were able to draft it, and so we just made it perfect. So decrim in Massachusetts is, in addition to no arrest and no jail, it also means that you can't have your kids taken away, that you will not be stripped of the ability to be a foster parent. You will not have your guns taken away. You will not have your driver's license taken away. You will not have your professional license to practice law or medicine taken away. You will not lose your welfare benefits, et cetera. So there's 11 or 12 things you put in there. So Massachusetts is the perfect decrim law. No matter how many times you're caught with marijuana, you get a $100 ticket. There's no criminal record. There's no database. It's $100 every single time you get busted, and there's no age limit on that either. So it's $100 regardless of age. We don't discriminate against young people. So That is the law that we want to promote in Texas. So when we talk about the Dutton bill has gotten so watered down. It's the bill that some of us testified in favor of in March, including me. It's so watered down now that we have to start from scratch. So what we'd like to do is talk to Representative Dutton, who really does believe in the cause, and just encourage him to make the bill good again. So in addition to decrim being on the books in 15 states, there's also Colorado and Washington where there's no penalty at all. So it's really 15 plus two states where there's no threat of jail for possession. And my prediction on the next states would be Hawaii, Maryland, and DC. So you'll see, one of the nice things about this job when things are going well is that my slides get outdated really fast. So the black states are the decrim states, blue are our two favorite states, and you see in the red in Vermont, so that just turned black, so that's good news. And then the next states for decrim are the red ones, so Hawaii, Maryland, and DC. So legalization is the next thing that we work on nationally. Legalization is, of course, you can make up any definition you want, right? You can say legalization means you grow marijuana like tomatoes. That's fine if you want to call it that. When we talk about legalization when we're drafting legislation, we talk about this. So people get to possess up to a certain amount of marijuana. They get to grow up to a certain amount of marijuana at home with no license. The state government issues licenses to wholesalers and retailers and kitchens and testing facilities. And then, of course, DUI and selling marijuana to kids would remain illegal. So when we talk about legalization, we think of the alcohol model. It's legal to brew beer at home up to a certain point without a license. It should be legal to grow marijuana at home up to a certain point without a license. So that's what we mean by legalization. That's shorthand for this presentation. And it happens to be the law in Colorado, which we passed in November. One of the things that led us to victory, we'll talk about this one first. This is, I think, the plan for how legalization is going to move forward across the country. As I said, the two blue states are our two favorite states. The green ones are where we're making progress through the legislatures. So Rhode Island, we already have half of the state house in Rhode Island that's co-sponsored the legalization bill. And I predict that Rhode Island will be the first state to legalize through the state legislature. Vermont, we're now moving forward now that decrim is taken care of. So Vermont is now a focus for us on full legalization. New Hampshire, they've already been voting on legalization every year or two, and that will continue to proceed. Maryland, there's going to be a major push for legalization coming up when the legislature reconvenes in January. And then Hawaii, we were surprised, actually, pleasantly so, that the Speaker of the House of Hawaii actually introduced a legalization bill. So when you have the top House Democrat in Hawaii who's the lead sponsor of legalization, that should give you room for encouragement. So that's where we are with the state legislatures. And then the orange state is the next state that's going to vote on legalization through a ballot initiative. We're going to put a legalization question on the ballot in Alaska in August of next year. So 14 months from now, Alaska will be voting on the legalization initiative. And then the red states are those where we were predicting that these questions would be on the ballot all on the same day in November of 2016. We're not trying to do a big splash in one day just to be sexy in the media. The reason that we choose November 2016 is that marijuana initiatives do better in presidential elections than in non-presidential elections. And that's because there are a lot of young people who are too lazy to vote every election, but they'll at least vote once every 4 years. So we'd like to capitalize on that push of young people voting in presidential elections and piggyback with marijuana initiatives. So we did so well in Washington and Colorado because it was a presidential election that we want to reproduce that model. So there are seven states that could be voting on legalization all on the same day in 2016. So those are the red ones. Although Oregon, you know, might jump out in front and do 2014, which is risky. It's possible it'll pass, and I hope it does if it's on the ballot. But it's easier to pass in 2016. It's also cheaper to pass in 2016. One of the things we did to instigate public debate in Colorado is we wanted people to be talking about unlikely suspects who were supporting legalization. Pat Robertson was just one of many. Cheyenne's looking at me. I swear, Ryan, I actually had this slide pre-existent before we had dinner last night. Pat Robertson is one person that we used as part of the debate in Colorado, but there are other billboards that we run in states that we care about to get the public talking about legalization in ways that they haven't already been talking about. In Congress, this stuff's not going to pass, but this is the stuff where, you know, that's in play. So we have states' rights for all marijuana with no tax. That's the Dana Rohrabacher bill. And then you have a pair of bills to treat marijuana like alcohol. That's Blumenauer and Paulus. States' rights for medical marijuana is Blumenauer. A pair of marijuana industry bills to fix the banking and the tax problems. So if any of you guys are in the industry, which I doubt many people are since you live in Texas, there's two bills to fix the industry problems that you might have heard about in Colorado and California, places like that. And then we were thinking we were going to have a vote on an amendment in Congress this summer, but it looks like it's not going to happen. So we're going to push for the summer of 2014. That amendment, by the way, would be a state's rights amendment. It would say if the state has marijuana legal, then the feds should butt out. So we'll get about 100 votes, I think, and therefore it would fail because you need about 218 votes to pass in the House. So in terms of Texas, in terms of the conversations that I've had with people at this conference, I talked to the Texas for Compassionate Care and Libertarian Party and obviously lots of folks, different normal chapters, got a sense that it seems like it's fair to put legislation in Texas into three similar buckets that we do elsewhere. So a medical marijuana bill, when I say medical marijuana, I do not mean the lame bill that Elliot Neshtek introduces every 2 years. That's not actually a good bill. We'd like to get a real medical marijuana bill introduced in Austin, and that would be a muscular bill that actually provides patients with protection from arrest, allows patients to grow their own, and allows patients to buy from a store, and caregivers could also help. So we want a muscular medical marijuana bill introduced, and I think we can if we all work together on it. A muscular decrim bill, which is not the current bill that we testified in front of before the legislature in March, but rather a decrim bill that looks something like Massachusetts, where it actually really does protect you from arrest and jail and a whole host of collateral sanctions, like losing your children and guns and so forth. And then a muscular legalization bill. I've heard word that there's a couple of Republicans who are thinking about introducing legalization in the Texas House. And if they do, and I would strongly encourage that to happen, we'd want that bill to look like the Colorado law. Start with a really good one, and if you have to water it down later, that's fine, but let's start with something really, really good. So how do we actually pass bills in state legislatures, and how would we work with you all in the Texas legislature if we were to get involved in a more serious way here? So what we've done to pass our bills in, you know, Illinois and Vermont and Rhode Island and Delaware and these other states is that we have staff attorneys who help draft the bills. They draft amendments. They fly and testify. They organize other people to testify. They train people to testify. They answer the media's questions. So we have a team of staff attorneys who, you know, quote unquote, quarterback the situation in each state. And then, of course, if you really are serious about passing a bill in a state capitol, you probably need to actually have a lobbying firm that's in that state capitol where the lobbyists already have relationships with the legislators. And these lobbyists are paid to have friendships with legislators. So they go and they play golf with them. They go to their children's birthday parties. They give them money. So lobbyists do all this all year round to build warm, loving relationships with legislators. And then we pay tap into those warm, loving relationships. It costs about $50,000 per year per state to play, and it's a formula that's been working elsewhere, and I intend to raise money so we can have a lobbying firm do the same in Austin. And then we also engage in pressure tactics for legislators who are on the fence, which means paying for patients or other key people to travel to the state capitol if they can't afford to do so on their own. Sometimes it costs money to generate waves of phone calls from constituents to their legislators. Sometimes you can actually do that by placing ads on Facebook to generate constituent emails to legislators and so forth. Radio ads also help. All this stuff costs money. It's just a question of knowing when and where to run this stuff. So, you know, if we do get more involved in Texas, which will take, you know, a lot more of a conversation with some of the people in this room and some people who have already left, if we all decide that we like the plan of going for two or three bills and we all kind of agree on what the bills should look like, then what I would try to do is help raise money to pay for some of the key things, a lobbying firm and some other ancillary expenses. I'm not going to serve as a lobbyist in Austin, even though I'm going to live seven blocks from the state capitol. I'm actually going to just use my knowledge that I'm attaining in Texas to try to raise money for the cause here, and I'll occasionally hang out in the state capitol. But I think it's better to actually have like a real lobbyist doing the lobbying and coordinating with people all around the state to make sure that everyone knows what legislators are the most important to talk to. So, you know, I have to say I'm really impressed with the folks I've met here. I go to conferences all around the country, and I have to say this is one of the best regional conferences I've ever been to. It might even be the best. And the reason I say that is that, you know, sometimes when you go to conferences in California, you know, people are sort of just, they have a sense of entitlement. In California, they think, well, we've been at this for so long, we know what to do, and we can get stoned constantly and not even listen to you, and I'll interrupt you whenever I want. So that's the kind of the attitude that I get from people in San Francisco and some other cities where I've spoken, where I think the folks aren't necessarily as serious about change because they think they already have it pretty well off. Whereas I find that the folks that I've met here are deadly serious about change because the laws in Texas are terrible, and we need to do something about it, and it doesn't work by not listening to each other. It works by, you know, listening and taking notes and asking good questions and then being friendly with each other afterwards. And I've gotten that sense here in a way that I do not get in California. So applause to you for being as committed as you are to move this stuff forward. It looks like my timer says I actually have 14 minutes left for Q&A, if you guys have any questions. And while you're thinking about that, if you haven't already signed up for our email list, I'm going to pass these two clipboards around so you can sign up and you'll get our legislative updates for Texas and or national, which means you'll get about three updates a month. So if you can handle three updates a month, please sign up, and if not, please just pass it along. So who wants to ask the first question? Pass it over. Start at this table. The strategy, the question is, what can we do to change federal law, since I just did a lot of talking about state stuff? The answer is, first of all, 99% of all marijuana arrests are made under state law. So if you actually change the state law, you're getting rid of about 99% of the problem. So there's obviously immediate benefit to changing state laws, even if the federal law is still bad. But the strategy is that we believe we need to change more state laws before we can even hope to change federal law. I predict that we'll change more state laws, and then the federal law will change, and then the remaining states will say, well, heck, now that the feds have changed, now I guess we can change. So I think it'll be states, federal, states. And if you're afraid of federal law, then just don't get involved in the marijuana industry. If we change the law in Texas, for example, to decriminalize possession or to legalize medical marijuana or to legalize marijuana entirely for all adults, if we succeed at that and you're nervous about feds, then just don't run a business. Just be a user, possess up to an ounce. The feds aren't going to get you. That's the best that we can do, given the federal, you know, juggernaut that we're all in. Yep.
Do you have any advice for us for how to
So the question is, what can we do to keep people involved when the legislature is not in session, which, as you know, is 20 out of every 24 months, give or take, maybe 19 out of every 24 months. The answer is that there's a lot of good work that can be done in the off session time. One is that there are a lot of good activists and advocates around the state who live in key districts, and they can do meetings with their legislators in the district offices rather than going all the way to Austin. Those meetings are something that we would be happy to help coordinate, although I know there are people in the room who already have been doing work in that arena. So district meetings. Also, there's media coverage that we could generate around the state to keep the debate going that does not require a bill in the state legislature. There's also the necessity of finding people in your district who are supportive. Building an email list of folks in your neighborhood, maybe hang out in a bar and harass people to sign on your email list. And building the list, because if a legislator, a state house member in Texas, if they were to get 100 phone calls and or emails from constituents who are actually in their district, that would actually be a big deal. I mean, most people don't contact their legislators on any issue at any point in their life. So if a legislator hears from 100 people on the pro-legalization side at some point in the off session, and they don't, of course, they're not going to hear about anyone lobbying them to keep marijuana illegal. I mean, really, does anyone really lobby to keep marijuana illegal? You're not going to really see that. So that helps build the momentum so that then by the time that we have bills introduced in Austin in January, that the legislators will be softened up to then take us more seriously when we're lobbying in the halls and testifying before the committees. What other questions do people have? Yep. Yeah, so the question is, since most legislators are Republican in Texas, you know, how do you reach the Republican voters who the Republican legislators listen to? Well, the answer is that I think we need credible people to reach out to those voters. People like to listen to folks who are sort of like them. So, for instance, if you have a feeling that Republican voters go to Rotary Club meetings and Kiwanis clubs and so forth, then maybe it's worth your while, and I would argue it is worth your while, to have speakers from law enforcement against prohibition speaking at those Rotary clubs, and then, of course, passing around the sign-up sheet afterwards so that you can get those business leaders in the community, many of whom are going to be Republican, to join forces with us. You might want to think about other advocates who are connected. There might be someone who is the head of a Republican club in Lubbock or some other city, and ask, you know, if you can find a leading Republican who's the head of some kind of club, even if it's a college club, but it could be, you know, any kind of club. If you can get someone who's supportive, they're going to be more able to reach out to their kind than someone who is not a Republican or doesn't live in Lubbock. So I think it's about the messenger. Well, the message is kind of easy on this issue. We all know the message, right? Message is, what we're doing for decades isn't working. It's time for a new approach. Another message is we're wasting a lot of money right now on marijuana prohibition. Wouldn't it be better to save money on the enforcement side and generate tax revenue? So, right, it's the money argument. And the third argument for legalization is that police have better things to do with their time than sniffing under people's doors for marijuana. And as a speaker said yesterday, the clearance rates for a lot of crimes in Texas are abysmally low. The one that I focus on when I do TV in Texas is that only 10% of burglaries in Texas result in an arrest. So that means the clearance rate for burglary is 10%. So what that means is that burglary is almost legalized in Texas. And then we have to do better than that, right? Someone who opposes burglary and doesn't want burglary to be legalized, we need to legalize marijuana so the cops can spend time on the burglary side. And, of course, also other crimes, car theft, assault, murder, and so forth. The clearance rates are terrible in Texas. That's because the police are all tied up in knots arresting people for marijuana. 75,000 marijuana arrests per year in Texas alone. It's a criminal justice juggernaut. So those are the messages that we should all use, whether you're a law enforcement person or a Republican or a medical marijuana advocate or anyone. But the messenger also matters. And so if you want to reach out to key Republicans in key districts, try to figure out who the good messenger would be in that community and then co-opt them and really ask them to be your spokesperson for the key people that you're trying to reach out to. Looks like we have 6 more minutes for questions if you have any more. Yep, guy in the hat. Question is New Jersey. It's a state that I'm not so focused on. But I will say, first of all, I don't think that Chris Christie is going to be the Republican presidential candidate. So he's, I think, too liberal. he got a little squishy and a little cut.
Dallas Fort Worth Normal, Texas Regional Normal Conference. That entire presentation is or will be available for P listeners at 20radio.org with the video. Stay tuned here. We're going to roll for 2 where we've got more videos from this conference. Tally from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, Eric Altieri from Normal, and Cheyenne Alden, the newly elected director of Texas Normal in Austin. Brian the Red, I'm Rob. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting 420radio.org. Help us with the F Normal Tour. You can see my Facebook, Radical Russ, for information. That, give if you can. Until next time, take care of each other, talkers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.